Hey everybody, it's Michelle Fisher and welcome into A View From My Window. As always, I'm your host Michelle Fisher, offering a special story as digital contributor to ApostropheMagazine.com. Today we are talking about the benefits of sexual education. With me now, I have Catherine McLaughlin, an expert on sexuality and developmental disabilities. She has taught sexuality education to people with developmental disabilities, as well as trained them to be peer sexuality educators themselves. She has trained nationally at conferences and workshops, has developed and led parent workshops on talking to your kids with disabilities about sexuality, and has trained staff on how to address sexuality with people with disabilities. Catherine has co-authored two curriculum for Planned Parenthood of Northern New England, Sexuality Education for Adults with Developmental Disabilities, and Sexual Violence in Teenage Lives. Catherine has worked as a sexuality educator and trainer for Planned Parenthood of Northern New England for over 20 years. She now leads workshops as a private consultant and also teaches human sexuality at Keene State College in New Hampshire. And with me now, I have Catherine McLaughlin. Hi, Catherine.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm good.
Thank you so much for taking the time to be
sure.
With us today.
Looking forward to it.
Well, let's start talking about these workshops. And how long have you been teaching this topic?
Yeah, so it's probably been about 25 years. And as you mentioned in my introduction, I started working at Planned Parenthood, doing sexuality education for lots of different groups, but then started to specialize in sexuality and developmental disability just based on requests I was getting from special educators or people from different agencies looking for some help addressing this issue.
And we were talking about, as I was going through research, this is a sensitive subject. So how do you start really talking to organizations and self-advocates about this sensitive subject?
In my workshops, I try to do some sort of a, you know, icebreaker to sort of get people a little more relaxed.
Sure.
I also set, just some group agreements too, so that people feel really safe, you know, that I'm not going to ask them personal questions or, you know, try to set up the environment so that people feel like they can talk about it. And what I've found is most people want to talk about it. We're just not used to talking about it. So if you can set things up, you know, a workshop or a curriculum lesson or something so that people can get a little more relaxed and then there's some safe rules, then people are really willing to open up and talk about it.
And how did you develop the curriculum? We were talking about how you developed curriculum for Planned Parenthood and have done that for about 20 years, but how do you develop this type of curriculum?
Well, I think the one for adults with developmental disabilities, it was a few-year process. So I worked with Green Mountain Self-Advocates, and I worked with someone who was working in a developmental disability agency. And what my hope was to create some kind of material so that people felt like they could address the topic themselves. They could teach sexuality education themselves. Because in general, we don't necessarily addressing that issue. So how can I create a tool so that I don't have to go talk to everybody about it, but teach others to be able to talk about it? So we had a core group of people, and I did most of the content writing. Green Mountain Health Advocates did a lot of the graphics and made it, you know, sort of user-friendly, handouts, that kind of thing. And all work together to create this 20-lesson curriculum. And there's also a manual as part of it, so it teaches you how to be a good sexuality educator, all kinds of tips for teaching, that sort of thing. So it's got some, you know, ideas about how to teach and then some lessons that have handouts and teaching tools. So I wanted it so that people pick it up and just start using it. So we also had people with disabilities look through the whole curriculum and give us feedback on the activities, the language, all kinds of things to put. So then we made our first edition, and then we field tested it with lots of different groups and did a second edition based on the feedback from those trainers.
And it was interesting to me, that as I researched, these are really comprehensive. It's a really comprehensive workshop because you have your online courses, you have your live workshops, and your sexuality education curriculum. So tell me what the difference is about all those between all those resources.
So the one I was just talking about when you said curriculum was really a how do you lead a group of people with developmental disabilities through these different topics. So it's more about teaching. And that is it's actually a book. You know, you order it and you get a book and you get the handouts and all that. And then so that's sort of, how to lead a group. Then I also have an online workshop, which is for staff to get more comfortable talking one-on-one about sexuality. So it's more of it's not like how to teach others, but how to talk to others about sexuality. So how do you answer questions? How do you respond to behaviors? All those kinds of things. So that's the agencies can buy it and then use it over and over again. I also do live workshops, which can be around how to talk one-on-one or how to lead groups. It just depends on what people are looking for. So there's live workshops, online workshops, and then a curriculum that you can buy to teach your own workshops.
I was thinking, do you see a difference with how people learn versus, if they take the online courses first and then maybe you come in and talk to them? Is there a difference how everything is grasped by learners?
Yeah, I mean, it's a really good question. I mean, I think ideally live workshops are better. Right? Your questions answered, you're practicing, that sort of thing. And I really just launched the online workshop. So I haven't gotten a lot of feedback back from agencies that bought it yet. So I think, it's kind of the wave of the future right now is online learning. And I think there's trade-offs, right? You don't get that interaction and practice as much, but you can do it at your own pace and you can use, there's handouts that are part of it. I tried to make it interactive, so to speak, even though it's online.
Sure.
So you can post responses and things like that. But I think people learn in groups face-to-face.
And can you tell their reaction when they start the training and then after? What's people's reactions?
Yeah, I mean, I think, there's always a range. Some people are really comfortable with the topic and others aren't so comfortable. So there's always a range of comfort level. But I think by the end, people feel more confident and realize that this isn't as difficult to talk about as it seems. And one of the things I start off with a lot of the trainings is sort of what were the messages that you got growing up about sexuality, and sort of laughing a little bit about some of those messages. And it just sort of helps people think about, well, the reason we're not very good at talking about this is that most of us got messages that said, don't talk about it, and didn't get positive messages. So we live in a culture that isn't very positive topic and isn't very skilled at talking about it. So no wonder we're not very good at it. So let's just, practice and work to get better at it. So I think people feel more confident. They feel a little bit of relief, like, okay, good, I can do this. And I've noticed over the years that in the beginning, people wanted me to come in and teach. And now people are saying, well, I'll teach it. Just can you help me? So I'm noticing even over the 25 years, people being more willing to take on this topic and teach others about it.
And let's talk about you for a minute, because I the question always begs, was there a time in your life where you thought differently about sexuality and disability versus now?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up without a disability and didn't really know people with disabilities, maybe a couple people. And then, in my 20s had an accident and now use a wheelchair. So I think before that, I had really different ideas, like people with disabilities can't even get out of their wheelchairs and, you know, let alone have a relationship. And then I realized that that was not true and have lived my life and have two kids and all of that. So I realized that everybody is a sexual being. I'm not just saying that, I actually truly believe it. But I may not have believed that before.
If people want to contact you, if people want to have you either the online courses or have you in to their organizations, what should they do?
Yeah, so I have a website, which is www.disabilityworkshops, with an S, plural, workshops.com. And it has all the information about the online course if people wanted to see what all the topics that are covered, the curriculum. There's even a sample lesson there and also workshop descriptions if they're interested in a live workshop.
Catherine, is there anything else that you want listeners of the podcast to know?
Yeah. When we were talking about the curriculum earlier, I mentioned that the curriculum to teach sexuality education is actually designed for people with disabilities to team teach it. And so that, I mentioned how we wrote the curriculum, but we also, some of the trainers are people with disabilities that took the curriculum out and field tested it. And so it's really user friendly for anyone to use. It's well scripted. So if somebody's listening that has a disability and they're interested in getting workshops going at their residence or wherever, or in an agency, that they too can be the teachers of sexuality education.
That's wonderful. Great. That is great.
Great.
Catherine, I have to tell you that I am so happy to meet you, and thank you so much again for the time you have taken to explain these workshops to us. Thank you so much.
Sure. Thanks. Thanks for having me on your show.
You're so welcome. And thank you for listening today, everybody. Be sure to like A View From My Window with Michelle Fisher on Facebook, follow my blog, My Life and Stories Behind the Mic, and join me on Twitter. And always, you can learn more by visiting arcind.org and apostrophemagazine.com. Thank you so much for listening today, everybody. Have a great day today. Bye-bye.